It's been 15 years since life in America, as we know, it changed drastically. I mean, some of you still remember what you were doing that day. Some of you remember, perhaps some of you were even in the building when the plane hit. If we spend time talking about where you were at, some of you remember it vividly. It's been 15 years, but you can go back to that time when you first heard the news or you saw on TV what was happening. Our country was under attack. You see, those events, they hit us to the core. I mean, we're still feeling the effect today. We have never, as a nation, have been able to recuperate from it. Our economy was shattered. And you see, I mean, even in 2008, I mean, things were just going backward from that moment on. Travel has never been the same, because now you got to go through all kinds of security trying to avoid something like that to happen again in our nation. And like Ryan said, I guarantee you, there were people planning to do it again today. Rabbi Zachariah was in Pakistan when that happened. He was in a cab. I just read a book that he was talking about. And he said, Pakistan is a Muslim country. And the cab driver told him, hey, what do you think about what's happening in America? Are you an American? Rabbi Zachariah said, well, I live in America, but I'm originally from India. And the cab driver told Rabbi Zachariah, said, they're paying for it right now. And Rabbi did not know what to say. You see, that's the concept of the world in terms of America. Like, you know, America has a lot of enemies, and an enemy attacked us, and our lives has never been the same. And some of us complain about all the security we had to go through because of that. And even after that, you see, people have tried again. Bombings, school shooting, all kinds of things happening in our nation. Because when those things, storms will come and hit us to the core, we feel helpless. We feel there's no hope. We don't even know where to turn or what to do. We all been there. You see, our security infrastructure changed drastically because of the events of 9/11. A lot has changed in the way we do life in America. And even a lot has changed in how we look at the world in general and how the world looks at us in general. You see, my brothers and sisters, sometimes you and I are going to get hit with situations that will shake you to the core. It will shake the core of your existence. And at times you might be helpless. You don't even know what to do, who to call, how even to move forward. And we know that 15 years later, there's still people, they still don't know. They have not figured out how to even move forward because of what happened 15 years ago. When tragic happens to you, where do you run? Who do you turn to? Where does your hope lie when tragedy strikes? Where do you find hope? I mean, for some people, hope might be in selecting a new leader for the nation. A new leader that will come and change certain things around. That's where people have that hope. And you see it even in our election. They're hoping in certain political candidates that will bring solution to this nation of ours. Some people hope in the government. Some people, perhaps, their hope is in the education system. If we educate our kids, they will not go to prison. And their hope lies in so many of those things, which are good. But let me tell you, my friends, those things might not last forever. Sometimes we hope in things that are just temporary. Perhaps your hope is in your job you have right now. Or the person you're living with, the person you're married, that's my hope, that's my world. But your world might be shattered today or sometime in the future. You see, all these things are prone to fail us eventually. So we still got to find a place or somebody that will bring us our hope, that as we sing today, will be an anchor for our soul, that will hold us steady in the midst of turbulent waters. You see, Scripture teaches us that for you and I, us Christians, we who profess to believe in Jesus, our hope is found. And our hope that we have because of Christ is an anchor for our soul. And we're going to need that as we go through all these turbulent times, as we go through these storms in life. We're going to need something that will hold us together. We're going to need something that will keep us floating in the midst of rough sea. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible tells us that this hope was made possible by Jesus Christ because of the resurrection. You and I have hope. And if you didn't know, we do have hope. And hope is not in who governs. The hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is built in nothing else but in Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's an anchor. We're going to spend some time in that passage. Hebrews 6. Now, the author of Hebrews, when he's writing that letter to the church, some of those Christians were going through a lot of storms. Some of those Christians have lost their lives. Some of them lost their homes. Some Christians, he said that they were sawed in two. The Roman Empire were persecuting them, killing them. And now this writer tells them, there's a hope despite what you go through in this life. And perhaps, my friends, you and I need to hear that, because storm is coming. And it's always going to be coming. And if you, depending on what hope you have, you might not make it. You need to have a hope that will act as an anchor to keep you floating in the midst of the rough waters. Now, the concept of a hope, of the hope in the Bible, is the concept of expectation or trust or confidence that you have in this life. Confidence despite whatever it is that's happening to you. You know, a lot of people don't have confidence anymore in the government. You know, and so you don't have confidence in a lot of things happening, but the Bible talks about this hope is a confidence that we have in something greater than the government, something greater even than ourselves. Let me just read it for you. Hebrews 6, verse 19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. He enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. And then verse 20 says, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. And he has come our high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Hope as an anchor for the soul. You're not familiar with what an anchor is. Anchoring a ship is a very important thing to do. You know, most ships, before they even go into the ocean, they have to have an anchor. Because you never know when something will happen. A ship will be floating all over the place without course. So the anchor that the ship will have will allow the ship to stay stable in the water. Whenever the vessel has to stay afloat in a stationary position on the water, then they will shut off the engines. The anchor is cast into the sea so that the vessel will not be drifted unnecessarily from a position due to water currents. So that's why the anchor is going to hold that ship, doesn't matter how big they are, it's going to hold it in place. Despite the storm, you know, it's going to hold you right there. And the Bible says the hope that we have in Christ acts in the same way. It's an anchor for our soul to keep us floating despite the storms of life, to keep us steady when there's chaos in our lives. Now, it's interesting, if you ever had a chance to visit the catacombs in Rome, those tunnels on the ancient city, there were a lot of Christian people who died in those tunnels. They call the catacombs. You can research, you can Google that. Christians that were there that died, they began to create an art. And they would just make symbols to remind themselves of Christ. And sometimes you will go into any of those tunnels and you see vividly the symbol of the fish. Or sometimes it was a dove. Sometimes there was an anchor. You look it up, and I was like, wow, that's interesting. There was an anchor, and they would just wrap it up. They would just, you know, chisel it with something, instruments over there. So two fish anchor in the catacomb of Domitilla. Now, the fish will remind them, you know, their purpose in life. But the anchor reminded them of the hope that they had. There were the things, too, that remind them of Jesus, that based on the Greek alphabet, when you look up, I mean, you can do a research about how those Christians, and they died, some of them died, and they were hiding in those tunnels. But you see, like today, like people, you might be a Christian because you had the little fish. They identify themselves with the art that we have today, centuries ago. So the anchor had the idea that the Christian were, you know, were going through difficult times and they needed something to keep him secure. He reminded them of their hope, that their hope was the anchor for the soul. Now, besides it, he also reminded them of the glorious expectation of eternal life. They also, the anchor reminded them of their hope, their future hope, that one day God's going to wipe out evil once and for all, and there's going to be a glorification. There's going to be heaven where no more pain, no more plane flying around into buildings. None of that stuff. No more suffering. They had that hope, and the anchor reminded the Christians of that hope. That was a popular symbol in the early church. At least 66 pictures of anchors have been found in the catacombs. Our hope is in Christ. It's like an anchor for the soul. And you, my friends, you and I are going to need that. Because there's a storm coming. We don't know when. And depending on what you are hanging on to, that might not hold you. Depending what you're choosing as anchor might not hold you, depending on the storm that you're going through. The anchor keeps the ship stable in water. It will keep it from drifting away by the wind or the water currents. So the same way the hope we have in Jesus will keep you floating in the midst of the storm, will keep you at peace when everybody else is running around like a chicken with a head cut off. It will keep you together when people don't understand why you're so at peace, because something is holding you and it's not you. That's what this hope that we have in Jesus will do to us. Peter wrote a letter to other Christians that were being persecuted in the same faith. I mean, they were going through that and trials, tribulation. They had to run because the emperor wanted to kill them all. And he writes this letter to encourage them, but also to remind them that this is going to be trials and hardships. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 6, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into," check this out, "into this living hope." Our hope is a living hope. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a while, you might have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials," he told him. You see, there was a hope, living hope, despite all the trials and tribulations, hardships, persecution that might come. You're still hanging on to this hope. We have a hope that is an anchor for the soul. Firm, secure, he enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus went before us. Hebrews 10:23 also says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Let us hold on to the confession of faith of our hope, because who promised us that hope is faithful. And going to our text in Hebrews 6, we have the example of Abraham. God made a lot of promises to Abraham, and each of those promises, God fulfilled them. When God makes a promise, you better believe. You better have the confidence that He will carry that promise through. In our text in Hebrews 6, verse 13, it starts, "When God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for Him to swear by, He swore by Himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you and give you many descendants.' And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and an oath confirms what he said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unfailing nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath." Verse 18, Hebrews 6 says, "God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged." We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. God made the God is the one who made it possible that you and I can have this hope. God is the one who made it possible that you and I can have an anchor as you navigate through life in general, so that you will not be drifted away, so that you be secure despite the issues. Now, I know some people will just think, well, if God is so powerful, we just eliminate the issues from us. That's coming. Sometimes people just want to jump. So if God is so powerful, just eliminate evil once and for all. And they don't realize, yes, evil has a due date. In the meantime, you and I might have to go through a lot of rough waters. Our lives are like a ship. And I don't know why you have used as an anchor for you. I don't know if it's been working very well. Because whatever else we use, my fellows, mankind, we are going to fail each other. But there's one that will never fail you, and that's Jesus Christ. So that's why he's the only anchor that you and I need to hang on to keep us afloat, to keep us navigating through the torrential waters in this life. See, the author of Hebrews says this hope brings us courage in the midst of fear. It gives us a stability in the midst of turmoil. It keeps us secure, fastened, until we reach our final destination. Like I said, there's no ship out in the ocean that wouldn't have an anchor. The fact you go into the ocean is, there's going to be turbulence and all the things happening. It's like when you're flying. There's never going to be a smooth flight without this time to go, whoop, and people, you know, some people don't like flying because they don't want to experience that. You go in the air, there's going to be turbulence. And you go into the ocean, the rough waters, the current might change drastically, and you need something to keep you steady. You need something to keep you hanging on right there so that you don't go somewhere and end up in China or somewhere out there. You need that anchor for your soul. And it says we have this hope. It's because Jesus made it possible. He overcame death. He resurrected to give you and I a hope that even though this life might bring trouble and tribulation, we still can be at peace despite those trials. We still can hang on and not lose heart because of what he accomplished on the cross. I love the imagery that Paul, when he's talking about the supremacy of Christ, because Jesus really, he's the greatest. Paul talks about a beautiful imagery, a beautiful piece in Colossians 1, the supremacy of Christ. He's talking about that he is in charge. And I just want to read that. I know sometimes in churches we don't read the Bible a lot, only when the preacher says, I just want to read that portion because I love it. And there's the word again, you're going to hear the word, the hope. Paul talking about Jesus in Colossians 1. He said these words, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. You don't see God, but seeing Jesus, you're seeing God. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, visible and invisible. And then he goes, whether thrones or powers or rulers and authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and I love this part, and in him all things hold together. That's laminin. In Christ, all things hold together. So, you might be falling apart. You need something that will hold you together. And in Christ, all things hold together. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. So that in everything, he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you and I were alienated from God, and we were enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Praise God for that. If, there's an if right here, if you continue in your faith established and firm, not moved from the, that's the word, not moved from what? From the hope that you profess in him. Not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant, a slave. Jesus is the hope that holds us together in the midst of the storm. And then the gospel is the good news of Jesus is what's telling the world how they can find this hope. The gospel is telling me, it's telling you, it's telling the whole world that hope is only found in Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that can really hold you together when everything in your life is falling apart. You know how it is. It's just a matter of moment when your job, you might get fired from your job, you lose your house, and something happens, and it's going to hit you at your core, and depending what you're hanging on to, depending what you place in your hope, you might not even make it. And you know, there's so many stories of people that they have gone through a lot of tragedies and still they're standing and they say, yes, the Lord allowed me to go through that, but I was able to move forward. There's a lot of people, you wonder why they cannot move forward in life, because something that happens to them, because their hope was something else. My friends, only through Jesus Christ you and I can move forward. We all go through storms. We all have been, and we're going to go through more. And it's by His grace and by His power that you and I can still have that strength to still praise Him and continue living life, because He provides you that. He provides you the steadiness in the midst of rough times, rough situations that they're going to come to hit you, to strike you. We also have an enemy that don't want. He doesn't want you to be at peace. He's going to do everything in His power to ruffle your feathers, to do whatever it takes so that you don't praise God anymore. And He's going to bring chaos and tribulations and fears so that you be fearful even how to live life. I mean, Americans be fearful to even travel overseas anymore because everybody hates you in this world. And if you only depend on that, so well, if your hope is only the security that we can provide you, we know that failed 15 years ago. We thought we were so secure. We thought that we were invincible. Until like people that were living among us did that. So if that's your hope, I don't see hope at all. Jesus Christ has to be the hope for you and I to be able to navigate through life without fear. Without fear of what the world can do to us. He has to be the hope to keep you strong and to keep you at peace when everything else around you is falling apart. The gospel that we believed, the gospel that we're hanging on to, tells the world about Jesus. And our job will be to let people know. Sometimes, you know, we have to cancel people and they feel hopeless. And we have to tell them there's hope. There's purpose. There's significance in this life. Some young people sometimes they commit suicide because they feel there's no hope in this world, and I'd be better off killing myself. And it's like they don't realize there's hope despite tragedies in this world, despite wars and things happening to us. There's still hope that you gotta hang on to and never let go. So the question for you and I is simple: what are you holding on to? What kind of anchor do you have? Because a storm is coming. I found this. I have a devotion entitled Daily Bread. And September 11, this man wrote an article, and this is what he says. His name is Dennis Fisher. He said in the article for September 11 in the Daily Bread, some of you get it. He said, "We aren't promised deliverance from every difficult situation we face." Yeah, we're not promised deliverance every time.
You see, that would just blow out the prosperity gospel on the face of the earth. Like, you see, that's just that teaching.
We aren't promised deliverance from every difficult situation we face, but we can be confident. That's hope.
We can have this hope. We can be confident that when we pray to God, He hears our prayers and will walk alongside us
through everything. That's what we talked about on Sunday school this morning. When God told the Israelites, "I'm going to go with you and I'm going to fight your battles," God promised to be there, but who had to fight still?
The Israelites.
I said, I'm going to take you to the land of the promise, but who still had to walk and engage in war? The Israelites had to do that. But God still promised to be with us. And this man says, yeah, we aren't promised that He's going to keep us safe every time. But we know that we have this confidence, he said, that He's going to go with us every step of the way. Even if something really bad happens to us.
And you saw that through the last sermon that we talked about. He is, "I'll be with you always." always.
Yes,
at times you might feel, where are you? I don't feel you. He's right there, and He allows certain things to happen. But
we have to hang on to Him. He has to be what keeps us strong in the midst of the trials and tribulation. I mean,
like I said, we can spend all time, all day, talking about experiences that you have had, where you can see God provided. And people ask you, like, well, how were you able to overcome that? You don't even have words how to say it, because it wasn't really you. God did something for you to be able to overcome that, and you're still standing today because of His grace and mercy. I've been there. I wasn't supposed to be here, but here I am telling you about these things, and I've seen God work amazingly in situations that, like, people's like, well, how was that even possible? Yes, it was possible because we believe in the God that you and I cannot put in a box. What's impossible with us is always possible with Him. And my hope is hanging on Him. He is my hope as I go through this life. My kids, they know that I'm not afraid of anything in this world. Until I had kids and family, I realized that now my fear is for them. I don't care about what happened to me. I have gone to places, people are like, oh, don't go in there. Well, if it's my time, it's my time. But, you know, there I'm going to go as a God representative. But I'm afraid for them because I will fight for them. You know, just I'm not afraid of anything in this world. But now I got fear for the family because I love them so much. I don't want anything happen to them. I will get in their way. You know, and I once you become a father, a parent, you have a different concept of fear. Like, you fear more for them than even yourself. You see, there's a lot of things happening, and they're going to attack us, and we need an anchor. The anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, my cornerstone, the firm foundation, that nothing else is going to come and try to make us go who knows where. He's going to hold us, you and I, together there. He's going to keep us floating when everybody else is sinking. He's going to keep you praising Him when everybody else don't understand why you're praising Him. When something bad happens to you, like Job's, like, the Lord gave me, the Lord took it away, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's crazy in this world, because the world don't understand that we have something greater, a better power, the one that's holding us together. We have this hope, praise God, as an anchor for our soul to keep us safe and secure in the midst of turmoils in this life. What is holding you? You see, only Jesus can hold you together. Only He makes you stable and secure in the midst of the storm. It is only Jesus that can help you and can make you say, like this man, whose name was Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford. You're going to know that he's very famous. This man lost a 22-year-old son in the 1800s. And then he was a lawyer here in New York, and then moved to Chicago. And then while he was there, you know, the business, the Great Chicago Fire happened, and he lost everything. Talking about tragedy. You lose your son, now you lose your business. Then he had four daughters. They were traveling overseas. And in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, something happens to that ship, and they all drown. His wife made it to the other side and sent him a telegram saying, "Safe. I'm safe, alone." Months later, this man, Horatio Spafford, he was going back to meet with his wife, without any kids now, without any business. And as his ship is going towards where he lost the four daughters, he was inspired to write this song. And you know what he said? "It is well with my soul." That's just crazy, man. Unless there's really something greater holding you. "It is well with my soul. Like peace, like a river." That's the famous song that we sing. He wrote it. But you see the tragic events that shook his core. And in the midst of that, losing your family, going by the place. I mean, some people cannot even go by the memorials because they just lose it. Saying when you lost your daughters, and for you to still say, "It is well with my soul." That man, his anchor was Jesus Christ. And that's why he can say that
It is well with my soul. When you lose your house, it is well with my soul. When you lose your job that you were hanging on to so severely, you say, it is good. It is well with my soul, Lord. Even when you lost a family member, it's like, my question is, what's keeping you together to be able to say that? I just found the answer right here. Jesus, only He has to be the anchor for you to say, it is well with my soul. I hope, my brothers and sisters, that we're hanging on to the anchor. Because He's hanging on to us. He's never letting it go. We have this hope because of Christ. And it is an anchor for our soul. So what is anchoring you? What is anchoring your soul today? My hope is Jesus. So that at the end of the day, when storm comes, you can still say, it is well with my soul.